There is another way to learn. Where questions open doorways, where wonder leads us home, where every heart remembers the wisdom it has known. All learning reimagined, where passion meets possibility. With Teresa Songbird, come explore what learning can be. For parents, teachers, seekers, and dreamers, learning comes alive.
G'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. Welcome back, everybody. You'll have to excuse my voice. I've got a slight cold at the moment. I'm recalibrating, let's put it that way. I need a little bit of sunshine today. But for all of my regular listeners, welcome back. And for anybody new listening today, welcome. It's so lovely to have you here. Today, I'm proud to share that we're going to start another series. This is a small series, though. The last one that we just finished, which was on embodied intelligence, was amazing. I learned so much through researching and really feeling into the information that feels like it is aligned right now with what I'm seeing and observing and the people that I'm talking to in our world today. And so that actually sparked what could our next topic be, and that is the art of paying attention. I feel like attention is something that a lot of people talk about, and yet I'd really like to dive deeper into what attention is and how we can use it to our advantage and how we can look at it through the lens of learning, which is a little bit different. And so for episode one, the first thing that I wanted to start with is I've called it the economy of distraction, because in order to have attention, we need to remove distractions. And I don't know about you, but since the internet was invented, since everyone seemed to embrace mobile phones, and now we have the rise of technological intelligence, you know, the AI that's here, distraction is just more than ever everywhere that we go. We're all so busy, and it's very difficult to find space today. I shouldn't say that it's very difficult, but for me, that's where I'm coming from my perspective. And where my attention is going is a question that I'm really very conscious of. And I feel like many schools today have many things pulling at their attention. And there's whole economies out there that are built around wanting our attention. And if we give our attention away, then we become a consumer rather than being a creator. And as anyone who listens to me regularly knows, that's something that I'm very passionate about. Our children and also ourselves choosing what we want to create in our life instead of just living a life by default. So my central question really for today's show is, where is my attention going? And is it taking me where I choose to go, where I want to go? And I feel like this is a really good time with all the chaos that's going on out there. And I do say out there, to come back within ourselves and center ourselves, because when I am centered, I don't know about if this is the same for you, but for me, when I am centered and I know what I will not let into my life because it's a distraction, and what I choose to spend my time on, my time and attention, which is almost like a superpower, everything shifts for me. And I often get asked the question of, how do you get so much done? And why are you so efficient? You know, I get lots of people commenting these comments, and it's like, I'm not efficient at all. I just choose to know what to leave out and what not to do. And I'm quite particular about where I put my attention. And I do feel like this is worthwhile having a conversation. So my invitation to you is for you to just reflect on your own life, wherever you happen to be in the world. We're beaming out to 48 different countries right now, plus. And just focus on that. What in your life right now are you spending attention on? What's your time and attention? Where is it going today? Where is it going for the last week? And is it what you're choosing to spend time on, or have you fallen into the pattern, which I know that I do or have done in the past, of just getting up and rinsing and repeating, you know, getting up, doing the same routine, going along to work and then coming home and doing the same routine. And it just, it happens again and again and again, day after day. So, and if the first thing you reach for when you wake up in the morning is your phone or a device, that's where your attention's going. Some of us are becoming, we get cognitive overload before we even have breakfast. If you have breakfast, many of us are fasting. But it's amazing where our attention goes if we do not take the time to stop and pause and feel into this. So when I made the choice to write about this and to create this topic for this show, I started observing. So it's been a couple of weeks now because it's been on my heart for a little while, and I've been looking around and observing. And the other day I went to a restaurant, and it was a very busy cafe actually, and there were lots of people there talking, and coffee machines were humming, and the phones were buzzing. It was actually quite noisy. There was music playing overhead, and I was sitting there with my journal, and I just wanted to write. I was just wanted to be inspired, and I was looking around and observing, and I noticed that outside the window I saw a child, and they stopped, and he knelt beside the footpath, and he watched a little ant carry a crumb. It was next to a table, so it must have been a cake crumb or something. But he was watching this ant carry this crumb that was twice its size, and the adults sitting right next to him just continued scrolling on their phone in their own little universe, their own little world. But that child was sitting there watching this ant and noticing this tiny little world that everyone else was hustling and bustling and completely walking past. And nothing changed in that moment. Everything around me was the same, but attention, except attention. And even me stopping what I was doing to notice the little boy being the observer of this scenario shifted the attention in me as well. And I really feel like sometimes the greatest difference between us is not what we are looking at, it's what we are noticing. And I really wonder where this fits in with learning, because we know that our brain is like an information-seeking missile, and as soon as you give it information or you program it and tell it what is important, then it will seek out and filter out anything that you don't want and filter in, and this is where bias comes in as well, but it will filter in what you're choosing to give attention to, and sometimes the filters then stay through our lifetime. And until we reprogram it, and until we make a choice. And my personal experience, my personal lived observations in schools, is that over the many years in classrooms, I've noticed, you know, this is changing. Children are not becoming less intelligent. I know there's a lot of chatter out there saying, you know, we're dumbing down the curriculum, and children are becoming less intelligent. And I don't believe that for a minute. I know many children, and they are amazing beings. Yes, the skill sets are not as honed as what other generations may have had, but they also have developed other skill sets which are just as valuable. So it really is perspective. But I find in my observation is that the children today, even our teenagers today, they're becoming more interrupted. When I was at school, back in the olden days when I was at school, yes, I'm going to do one of those stories. I had sustained attention for long periods. I had to sit and concentrate or sit and work for long periods of time and concentrate without any interruptions. There were no buzzing phones with internet with messages. There were no people constantly coming to the door with messages and disruptions. There was no technology. I mean, a lot of children are working on devices today, and it's always, the next minute their email pops up and then something else pops up. The distraction is there at their fingertips. And when I choose to work with children today, I don't like having like laptops and technology. I like old-fashioned books, and conversation before we get into the research stage so that they can have sustained time without all of the distractions. Sustaining attention for longer periods becomes increasingly difficult when you are constantly interrupted. And I really feel that this is something, a lot of women say, oh, I've got baby brain because I had a baby and now I've got brain fog. Well, actually, it's because you've constantly got your attention interrupted. You're being woken up for sleep and you have this beautiful child to care for. I really feel like attention and the constant interruptions for attention does something to our brain, which then in turn affects our memory and also our learning. And yet, when I have observed these same children and you take them to a camp, you take them to an excursion, or even just get them out of the classroom and you take them outside into the garden and you get into nature and you build something with your hands or you explore something, do something tangible and more real that's not cerebral, that's not in your mind space. Get back into your physical body. Or get back into your heart space. And if they're exploring a question together, or simply just slowing the pace down, I have observed beautiful things happening. Their natural curiosity returns, and their ability to hold attention actually extends. And I don't feel like this is something that can be forced. I do feel, however, that it is something that we cultivate. So, those of us who are adults that work with children, if you are a parent, a homeschooler, a grandparent, a next-door neighbor, a coach, a sporting coach, whoever you happen to be, whatever situation you have, whatever influence you have, whether and it's any age, perhaps distraction is not the opposite of attention. Perhaps disconnection is. So, even though this show is about the economy of distraction, and there's, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of things out there right now pulling for our attention. When I dug deeper and I sat back and I really observed with this and put my attention on this topic, I really feel that disconnection from nature, disconnection from self, and yes, the distractions get in the way. That feels to me like something that is affecting our learning, and it is something that's definitely what I would say is the opposite to attention. So, for those of you who listen to me regularly, know I'm just sharing my opinion. I would never tell you what to think, but I do love to share what I observe because I'm curious to know, are you seeing the same thing? Is there anyone out there that this is resonating with where you're going, I hadn't thought about that before? Or maybe it's something that you'll be thinking about or pondering on, this afternoon when you have a cup of tea and you're watching the sun go down. And if you don't have time to do that because you're so busy, busy, busy with distraction, then maybe it's time to go, okay, well, what am I putting my attention on? And is this my choice? And if I'm not choosing this or I don't prefer this, what can I do about this? Because, we're not all Pollyanna here. Sometimes you actually have to take action and responsibility for the life that you've built and created and go, okay, what do I choose? And so my questions to ponder would be, what captures my attention every day? What captures your attention every day? What do I choose, or do I choose where my attention goes, or is that chosen for me? And I know in schools, many children don't get a choice where their attention goes. They're told. The teacher tells them, sit down, do this activity. It doesn't matter if you feel like doing this activity or if you're not in the mindset, heart set, have the energy. You're just going to do it. You're going to do it now. We're doing it on a timetable. Doesn't matter about circadian rhythm. This is how our education economy is built. I'm not quite sure how it got this way. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of different theories out there, but all I know is this is the reality that we're dealing with right now. So what can we do about this? What can we choose to do about this? Because I, for one, am not going to live my life by default. I'm going to choose where I put my attention is, because I know when that happens, magic happens. So many things change and shift in my life. So my other question to ponder would be, what am I repeatedly noticing? What have I stopped noticing? I mean, have you traveled or walked the same path every day and just not noticed that gorgeous tree that is there, that is bursting with blossoms at the moment, with the bees humming around it? Or do you just walk past it because you just don't notice it anymore? Like that little boy at the cafe who just bent down to watch a tiny little ant with a crumb on the ground. He was fascinated. I thought, wow, I used to do that when I was a child. I wouldn't even think to do that today. If attention is energy, because where attention goes, energy flows, where is mine flowing? And I really feel like we do live in a remarkable time. We do live in an attention economy. We're living through one of the most fascinating periods in human history, and that's my opinion. Never before have we had so many people, ideas, opportunities, and been so connected, because the technology has transformed the way that we communicate and learn and create. Every week I'm talking and communicating and collaborating in groups globally. I think nothing of using technology to connect with someone in South Africa or England or Canada or New Zealand. I've got connections and friends now all over the world. And I wouldn't have been able to do that without the use of the internet. It's amazing. It allows us to access extraordinary knowledge at the touch of a button, and we can stay connected across continents. We could solve problems in ways that previous generations could scarcely imagine. Well, I'm going to put a pin in that, because if you believe in the Tartarian empire and all of the ancient civilizations, there's a lot of information coming through saying that there were a lot of civilizations before ours that had more advanced technology and knowledge. So I'm going to just leave that sitting in the ether, just in case that's true. But for me, every gift invites responsibility. Just because we have these digital platforms that we use every day, that it's designed to capture and hold our attention, which is really an economy of distraction. Because if you are constantly focusing on notifications and scrolling and autoplay and personalized content and, you know, all of these things are incredibly effective, and they keep us engaged, but it isn't necessarily good or bad. It's just the environment that we're now living in, living within. And for children whose brains are still developing, this environment becomes particularly important, because the habits that they're building today may shape the way that they learn, the way that they relate, and the way that they pay attention for years to come. The question for me is how are we consciously choosing to use it? Where is my attention going? Because never before have we had access to so much information, entertainment, and connection. And at the same time, many of us describe feeling distracted and overwhelmed, mentally exhausted. I know that the cognitive fatigue is... It's just an epidemic. You know, phones compete for our attention. Advertising competes for our attention. The news, the social media, the emails. I chose to walk away from social media about 6 years ago. It was the best thing I ever did. And when people say, how do you get so much done? Well, I don't sit watching Netflix for 5 or 6 hours every night. I'm creating, I'm writing, I'm connecting, I'm talking. That's where I'm choosing to put my attention, or I'm reading. I made that decision years ago because I realized that I was wasting, I was throwing away 4 or 5 hours a day. And when you add up every time you pick up your phone and you might only spend 5, 10 minutes scrolling, they add up. When you add and do an audit of where your attention's going in your day, I was shocked when I did this. And I thought, no, something's got to give. What am I choosing? Particularly if you want to focus on health. Some people say, you know, I'm so tired and I've got this and I've got all these health issues. And yet when they have a look at where their attention is going, very little is going towards being proactive towards being healthy. You know, movement and exercise and just stillness and breath work, all of these different things. So this really then made me see things differently. You know, when you change your way to look at things, the things that you look at change. Whatever we repeatedly notice begins to shape our experience. And I've heard people talk about this, you know, people who are going through their dark night for the soul and their awakening and they're coming up for air and then starting to realize what is going on in this world that we have. And they're seeing a lot of darkness and, oh, this is terrible. And look at this tragedy and look at this and this is horrible. And yes, but guess what? It was always there. It's just now coming to the surface because you're starting to notice it. And that, if you are in that stage, if that's resonating with you in your life, speaking from someone who's been through it for the last quite a few years, that can actually set you on a spiral where all you see is the negative. If that's what you're seeking, that's what your brain will seek out for you and find. So, it's really important to balance. Yes, it's good to know what's going on in the world, but sometimes it's also important to go, okay, how is this shaping to me? Do I need to know all of the details? Or has that been a programmed response in me? Because I know that if I notice kindness and beauty or possibility, I see more of it. More of it comes to me. Our world often reflects where our attention is resting, and I choose not to put my attention on dark stuff, on the horrible things, on the drama, on the fear, because I know that it affects my energetic state, and my energetic state is very important. I will not do anything that will mess with my frequency, because I know that that's how I create my reality, and I know that affects everything around me. So in the morning, I choose where I put my attention. I choose my state and what it is I want to experience for that day. I ground. I go outside. I clean the bird bath. Say hello to my trees. I thank the water when I'm in the shower. Have gratitude. There's all these little things that I have that are embedded into my routine that, and I like to speak aloud, you know, that I'm going to have a day of grace and ease and peace. I actually speak the words that I'm choosing because I am setting up my day and I'm also programming my body of where I want my attention to go. Because attention becomes before intention. And the intention is really important. And I'm actually going to do whole very small series on intention as well, because there's so much there. But before we can choose to consciously create, first we have to notice. Awareness always comes first. And that's why I thought this was a really important series. And if this is resonating for you, you're going to love what's going to come up in the next three shows, because I've got four episodes in this series that I've designed, and I'm very excited about it because I know that it has, definitely through lived experience, I know that this has a massive impact, not only on learning, but just living your life. It's amazing. So, embodied perspective. I'd really love you to stop and pause for a moment. Now, if you're driving a car, this is probably not the most practical thing, but I would just like you, wherever you are right now, to just notice your breathing. Just don't change anything. Just simply observe. So if you have headphones on right now and you're going for a walk or you're on a treadmill or you're exercising, that's okay. Just notice your breathing. If you're sitting still and you're having a cup of tea and you're listening, that's okay. Just notice your breathing. And then think about the last time you ever felt rushed or overwhelmed. And notice what happens to your body when you think about that. Did your shoulders tighten? Did your breathing become more shallow? Do your thoughts speed up? That old monkey mind. So when you're noticing something, think for a moment then. If you felt completely absorbed, like remember a time when you were completely absorbed in something that you loved. I have a friend that loves to paint, and I know that he just gets so caught up in the world, and it's just like the rest of the world just fades away because he's embodied into this experience, and all of his attention is on painting. And that's when you can stop time. You can literally bend time when you are on that frequency of joy and doing something that you love, your highest excitement, your passion. So when you're feeling that, notice what happens to your body. What happens to your body? It expands, your chest opens, your breathing might slow. Sometimes you tilt your head back. There's lots of things that happen to your body, just even when you are putting your attention there. So next time you watch a sunset or you're walking in nature, or even if you're playing to music, because, oh gosh, music can change your mood just like that. Sometimes it could be, when you're talking to someone that you care about, just notice what's happening in your body. Put your attention there. What's it doing? Is your body, because your body communicates with you, is it expanding, which is giving you a good sign that this is a great place to put your attention, or is it contracting? Because if it's contracting, that's the time to reflect and go, okay, is this right for me? Is this what I'm still choosing in my life? Nature does this naturally. I mean, nature rarely wastes attention. If you watch a bird gathering twigs for a nest, or a spider that's patiently weaving its web, or a hawk that's sitting quietly before it's going to fly off, nothing seems to be rushed or scattered. They're not like humans. Humans seem to be like little busy little ants all over the place. Why is that? Why are we always rushing and rushing and rushing? Even sometimes I catch myself if I'm going grocery shopping and I'm walking so quickly, and it's like, why am I rushing? I don't know why. I just need to take a breath, calm down, because nature responds to what is needed in the moment. And if we're in our headspace and we're not living in the now and in the moment, then that, where is our attention going? There's just so much that's in this. So this week's experiment, our micro practice, is to leave your phone inside. So sometime this week, when you leave your phone indoors and go outside for 10 minutes and just sit quietly and just notice what you hear, what you smell, what colors appear, what insects you see, different birds. And then after 10 minutes, how does your body feel? It's a really, really great experiment to do with children who are addicted or really love their technology. It's a great activity. Highly recommend you look at it because it does have a lot to do with our learning. And I've got other activities, of course, which I'll put in our article for the week, which if you are interested in, you can go to bbsradio.com/all learning reimagined. You'll be able to find this week's article and, of course, all the archive shows as well if you're interested in any of the other series and any of the other resources that I'm creating for you for free. Go and use them, adapt them, share them. It's my passion. This is my passion. This is where I choose for my attention to go. So to wrap it up for today, for this new series, I just want to have this question carry with you, and that's, where is my attention going? And that's because wherever your attention rests, that's where your life quietly begins to grow. And the world is always speaking, the distraction is always out there, but this week, notice what captures your attention. Thanks, everybody, for joining me on All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out and live learning.
Carry the wonder with you. Carry the questions home. Every seed of understanding has a life of its own. All learning reimagined, where learning comes alive. With heart, with hope, with courage, we help the future rise. With Teresa Songbird. Until next time, keep exploring, keep creating, keep remembering.